Let us pledge to each other, with this great lady looking on, that we can, and so help us God, we will make America great again.
And we will make America great again!
All right, good evening. It is Friday night, August 10th, 2018, and you are listening to Patriots Fight, our conservative talk program here on Mental Brick Radio. And we should be good to go this evening. We've had all kinds of craziness happen in the last 24 to 48 hours, so we've got plenty to talk about tonight. And we're a little lighter on our crew tonight, but I want to introduce you to somebody who was on here the other night, but you didn't know who they were. This one is Image of the Invisible. And if you didn't know, by the way, everybody except me apparently, go basically by our tags that we use on social media in most cases. And it's not out of fear of anything. It's just, quite honestly, there's no need for us to go by our real names because you're not going to find us that way online. And so that's where we are. Now, you'll hear people refer to me as Mental on here, even though I've obviously introduced myself to y'all as Ford a year ago plus. But this is just the nature of the beast. All right, Image, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
All right. She is she's new to our program, but not by far not new to the whole Q, I want to say movement. I've heard people say that, and I want to think of that in a positive way. I want to have a little background. When did you get red-pilled into this? Because I never asked you that question.
So into QAnon specifically?
Well, we'll start there, but yeah.
On my personal Instagram, I had started following the QAnon hashtag because I heard about it on conservative AM radio, because I think it was either Sean Hannity had mentioned it, kind of when he was just kind of bringing it up as kind of like, hey, just FYI, there's this really weird conspiracy. You guys should look into it. It's called QAnon is what they're, and he kind of was introducing it. So it was a long time ago, and then I really haven't heard him mention it on the radio program since. And so, of course, I looked it up and started following the hashtag, and I found some of the people in Patriots Fight and some of their accounts, and started following their partners and stuff like that. And then from there, that's when I went to the QAnon board, QAnon drops, and got into the connected into the Discord, and just kind of went from there. But I pretty much have been red-pilled since, I mean, really early on. It started with just, I guess, logical thinking as far as like Monsanto and the growth hormones and dairy, and like just kind of like coming of age into like adulthood and just being like, this stuff doesn't really make sense. And,
right.
You know, buy organic, eat organic, and just all these things that kind of led into, why are these massive companies like producing all of these things, plugging it into our bodies? And that led into, gosh, just the whole thing into vaccines and antibiotics, and just kind of the big pharma trail, and just kind of went from there. And then around the time that after 9/11 happened, I mentioned this before, but on my college campus, there was a DVD or a burned disc circulating with a copy of a documentary called Loose Change. And I'm pretty sure you can still find it on YouTube now, but it might not be the original grainy version that we had that was burned.
Right.
But it was circulating through, you know, hand-to-hand on campus. And so it was about an hour and a half long, and it just kind of like went into the different, you know, facts of what happened on the day of 9/11. And so from there, that's kind of where I got more red-pilled into the Illuminati, the cabal, the deep state, the government, and the New World Order, and all that stuff. So,
now, you know, Image,
it wasn't really like mind-blowing topics or anything that I wasn't familiar with. but it has really confirmed a lot of things that, you know, it's like, oh, it's just a conspiracy theory until proven true. So to me, it was a ton of validation, and I've just thoroughly enjoyed watching millennials and a lot of, I mean, just the masses of people just kind of digging into this and doing their own research and just the, you know, witnessing the Great Awakening taking place, that we're breaking away from being mind controlled and we're doing our own research and thinking for ourselves. And, you know, Q says all the time, it's we the people, you know, and just giving power back to the people. And I think that's what, in the grand scheme of things, that's what this big movement, if you want to call it, is about, is just taking power back from those who are trying to use you, you know, for your votes or for your money or keep you enslaved and and just mental dominion over you, and just thinking for yourself and breaking away from you know, just falsehoods, I guess.
That's right. And it's a huge, you know, what you're, it's funny, you're kind of pulling all of this off as like, well, yeah, naturally it led to this and to this and this, but it's really not. You make it sound casual, because at this point it probably does feel that way, but you think about when you're first starting to break into that, and you start doing research into any of these areas, and you find validity in them, and then that opens you up into another category and so forth. It's easier, first of all, to accept each next one that comes along that gets opened up, but it also just explains, they begin to explain each other, and you see how they're mapped together. And it's, you realize, though, that what you're saying in a rational, composed method, there's still a big part of the world that goes, she's nuts.
Yeah, you absolutely.
Know, you know, but what's wild about it is that, I mean, I'm, you know, and I'm completely in, I mean, all of that. I mean, that's, yes, it all, but it's for me, it hit me later on, I guess. As far as in age, it wasn't in college, it was post-college that I began to look into a lot of this stuff and realize, and it was little things like, you know what, we're drinking everything out of plastic bottles, and how is that not healthy? And things of that nature, and made me begin to research into things. And I was one that experienced 9/11, and at that time, I was totally convinced this was the real thing, as far as this was something completely outside of our control, and we were being attacked by people that we weren't prepared for. You know, and so forth. And it took me a while. And I was one of the ones that was opposed to all the questions that people brought up about it at first and so forth. But you begin over time to adjust, right? I mean, the emotion is there at first. And you know, that leads into what you and I were talking about right before we went live, about all these folks that are coming in now. And I say all these folks, it makes it sound like there's a lot of them. There's not. But these handful of folks that are coming out and trying to be so-called scientific about explaining why Q is nonsense. And they're the ones sounding crazy at this point to me. Like they're really, really having to dig out a reason not to accept this. But then you start realizing, okay, the reason that they're doing this is because it's affecting them. Their way of life is being affected.
I think that there's different categories, I guess. The further up you go into a sphere of influence, so, you know, and even Kanye has talked about that, like, he's not going to be bullied, and, you know, people in Hollywood would tell him he would lose his job, and or in the music business and stuff. It's like the further up you go, the more people are telling you and expecting you to be a certain way.
That's right.
So it's even harder for them to break away. So even if they're wanting to question it or to look into it, I mean, it's easier for them to dismiss it as a conspiracy theory rather than to admit that there might actually be truth to it. But then on the other side, you have those who are in incredibly high spheres of influence, and they might be part of it, and so they're dismissing it because they don't want to get caught, and they know that there is truth to it.
Right, right.
You know.
So you get two totally different reasons for pretending it's not there. Two different types of groups, right, that are having to pretend it. One, because they know it is, they can't afford to do anything about it, and those that just don't want to believe it in the first place. And you're making a good point there, because like the higher up some of these folks get, the more powerful they get, the more pressure they face, not the less pressure they face for keeping certain things quiet.
Right.
You know, that's for everybody who wants to claim fame, just recognize that the higher up the chain you get, the less freedom you have. So with the fame comes, in a way, isolation. And you hear that in the history of a lot of famous people that end up in drug abuse, deaths, and things of that nature because they couldn't take it anymore. And I remember the earliest example I have of that was when Elvis Presley died. People were talking about I'm aging myself now, but right. But I was a kid, but I remember hearing about people talking about how lonely he was. And I remember thinking, this is Elvis Presley. How could he be lonely? Well, because you've got fewer and fewer people you can trust, fewer and fewer people that have the good things out in mind for you, and so forth. And, yeah, so you look at these big figures, and that's why you look at people like Kanye, or the one I really love is Candace Owens. That girl, she rocks. But you get these folks that are coming out and making these comments, and they're not just making comments, they're making complete stands for things. And they really are truly the brave ones. And yet it's the people that think that they're standing up on a stage in front of 100,000 people at some march somewhere, they think they're the ones being brave. You know? You're David Hoggs out there, and I haven't mentioned his name in months, but you're David Hoggs out there that are, you know, in their bulletproof vans and their security detail claiming that they're out there doing what's for the common person. Those people, right, they're not sacrificing anything. They're not doing anything. Kanye has a career that could disappear if he says too much. Candace Owens, on the reverse of that, has actually become more powerful and more popular as a result of this.
Exactly.
You know, but I think it also has to do with the difference in the way that they approach this stuff. And here we are coming up on the NFL. This seems like a rabbit I'm chasing, but we come up on the NFL now, and now you're going to have all these people asking, well, where were all these players that are protesting now? What were they doing in the off season? Were they protesting anything during the off season, or are they just waiting until they're on TV to protest?
Right. Were they doing any activism, any public speaking, anything contributing to their cause?
Exactly. And the truth of the matter is, the reality is, you probably have a much larger list of those NFL players that have actually been in some kind of legal net of some kind during the off season. You know, domestic abuse, drugs, things of that nature. And yet these are all the people, and this is, I guess I'm really not chasing a rabbit, these are all the people though that are coming out now and saying that to believe that somebody high up in our government is actually trying to clean up the world and help open the eyes of people so that we can recapture ourselves, that's all crazy.
Right.
You know, and it just doesn't work. For me, it doesn't work.
Yeah. So, two thoughts, or a few thoughts on that. So, today in America, we're not looking, patriotism is pretty much gone from, like, popular culture. People don't do that anymore. You know, patriotism, supporting the president, being involved in current affairs and politics, that's just not what the majority of Americans do. They look to celebrities, they look to Hollywood, they look to their superstar athlete, they look to just this entire, you know, web of celebrities that they see on TV all the time, that they see, like, they're they are looking to them to say, like, how should I feel about this? How should I think about this? Mm-hmm. And it maybe it's an intentional brainwashing, but those are the idols in the pop culture of America. So when they're being told by these people in positions of spheres of influence, I mean, they're not being expressed to, like, go look for yourself, go research it. It's like, in my mind, as soon as you gain knowledge about something, you have a responsibility for what you've learned. So, mm-hmm. like, if I learn that a study just came out, hey, microwaving plastic is not good if it has a one or a two in it. You know, it actually right. can cause harm and cause cancer, stuff like that. Okay, so now I'm responsible for that knowledge. So it's up to me. Do I switch to glass? Do I just throw the microwave away? Or do I just continue to use it for, like, friends, family, myself? That's a small example, but on a grander scale, it's like, okay, if you're really going to start going down these rabbit holes and looking into stuff, like, you're responsible for that knowledge. And when you have a sphere of influence, you have all these people putting pressure and expectation on you to deliver, then it's you are stuck and suspended between, do I give the people what they want to hear and what will please them, or, you know, do I go ahead and look into this? And so I think for a lot of people, like you're talking about, you know, claiming to be experts on QAnon, and they really have no idea. I don't even think that they're really fully entertaining and, like, looking into it, because, it would be such a big pill to swallow. But at the same time, once they know, it's like they're responsible for it. And that's so much pressure, so much expectations. And so it's just like, you know, let me just cut it off right here. QAnon is a cult. QAnon is a conspiracy. There's no merit to it. It's just some weird anonymous hacker group of kids living in their parents' basement. You know, they're just trying to expose Pizzagate and bring, you know, whatever. Right. And just all that stuff. And it's so much easier for them on their conscience and everything to say that this stuff isn't real, because once being in those spheres and in those networks and you start seeing some people's names that you recognize or, you know, or that they could potentially be involved in some of this really dirty business, it's like, what are you going to do with that knowledge? How are you going to admit it to yourself? Or, you know, like, you know, and... I don't know where
it's
going.
Well, no, I do. I mean, I get where you're going with that, because it requires a huge life change, a culture change, to mm-hmm. acknowledge those things. It's like it's so much easier just to pretend that your friends are really your friends, and they're not the people that you have heard that they're like. Well, okay, let's use this to use it on a different scale. Let's take somebody who gets into a relationship with somebody, and they think they know that person, they think they understand them, they think they love them, they're with them for years, and they begin to become blind to the things that other person is actually doing that's negative for them in their life, right? Mm-hmm. And it may start out as subtle things, but then over time, it actually, the outside world looks at it and goes, look at how abusive that relationship is. And the person in it... Mm-hmm. is going, but no, they love me. And
right.
we see that happening millions of times across the planet every day. And we wonder, why do people stay in this? And why do people? Because they're familiar with it. They don't want to believe that it's real. Even when there's strong evidence, you know, you're getting beaten up, you're having to live your life in a certain way or whatever, but they still stick with it. Put it on a larger scale and have that bully be the system that literally teaches you what to do on a daily basis, tells you who you should be on a daily basis, and we don't think that the system itself is the one being the bully against you.
Right.
Right? And you feel like you can't escape it.
Yeah, it's part of the responsibility I'm talking about, like, mm-hmm. Is the pain, does the pain of change outweigh the pain of staying the same, or is it vice versa? Like, is it less painful for you to stay the same than it is if you were to change. And so sometimes making those changes is so drastic that it's just not worth it to them to go through that.
And, that's right. That's right. You know, and when somebody is finally sees it and tries to help you get out of it, are they your enemy because they're trying to help you out of it? Or are they, you know what I'm saying? They either let you stay in it and you love them, or you help them out of it and they resent you.
Right. So what is more love? And, you know, and is it better to just tell the truth no matter what cost, you know? And is it okay that some people, I mean, some people are, let's be honest, they're just not going to care because they don't have the energy or the integrity or responsibility or whatever, because it's just more comfortable for them to stay where they are comfortable. They don't want the boat rocked, and they like the way that it is, you know?
That's right.
This is a huge undertaking for QAnon really to be like, okay, we have this crazy idea and we're going to just, you know, have a mass awakening and all this stuff, but really it's like, you know, trying to eat an elephant with a fork, and just this huge task. But I mean, so far I don't think it could be going any better.
It's certainly going faster than I thought it was going to. And yet it still seems like it's creeping at times, but people just don't realize exactly how massively fast all of this stuff really has taken place. It's mind-blowing how much all of this is. But you're right. You look at somebody, and, you know, we've seen thousands of memes of people reminding us that, you know, what kind of a billionaire is going to go and give up the freedom of just kind of retiring on their own and making money and doing things to go voluntarily to get pummeled on a daily basis and ridiculed on a daily basis to do what Trump is doing as a president. What billionaire in their right mind would do that, right? And there are a lot that would do it in order to get to benefit their coffers. There are a lot that would. They would love to do it and increase their wealth that much more. But you look at the fact that over the last 18 months, Trump's personal value has dropped. And he gives his quarterly paychecks two different, think like $400-something thousand check he gets, and he gives it to the VAs, or he gives it for them to rebuild cemeteries for our soldiers and so forth. And who would work for free 6-7 days a week, and from what I understand, you know, 18 plus hours a day to do all of this? If their heart wasn't behind it, right? But then you add on top of that, who would willingly, in that position already in the status that you've got somebody like Trump, who would willingly go out there and throw themselves into this Q revelation of moving it, you know, moving, going out there and actually doing this and exposing themselves as being connected with it and so forth? Who would do that to their reputation if it wasn't real? And I just don't see somebody, I can't imagine anybody being willing to let their reputation be played with like that if what's behind it wasn't real. I mean, crazies out there don't stay crazy all the time for the sake of their reputation getting too bad. Kathy Griffin backed off for a while to let her reputation cool down. Or Rosie O'Donnell or Tom Arnold or any of these folks that seem to come off like they just toked on something really, really bad.
Right?
And they all back off. Instead of backing off, Trump goes out there and extends himself further into things and goes and puts the photo with his signature and the post number out there to solidify, yes, I am part of this. He's intentionally putting himself in the middle of that. It's crazy. And, of course, if he was doing something bad, he wouldn't. If his intentions were deceptive, he would want to stay in the dark, I would think.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, if he had anything in his past that he felt like really could destroy who he was or destroy his family, like even with Stormy Daniels, even with, you know, the locker room comments and stuff, if he really felt like he had something in his past, then having really no political, you know, background, I don't think that he would have pursued it. But to him, he's like, I'm a businessman. I'm going to come and get the job done. And if we didn't see the results, and if we didn't see everything that he's been doing in the last 18 months, then we wouldn't be supporting him. People think that some Trump supporters would just, you know, eat poop sandwiches if he told us to. Right. And that's just not right. Like, it's not true. But at the same time, the mainstream media has painted him to be just like, you know, the sexist, racist, bigot, whatever, misogynist. I mean, how many women has he employed and entrusted close to him in his administration that are just kicking butt?
And he's got more women working for him than any president in history.
Absolutely. And but I mean, the, you know, the feminists aren't happy with Sarah Sanders either. They're not happy with these women, even though they're like kicking ass, and Candace Owens and stuff like that. They're calling her a racist. And I mean, just the way that they're trying to take this man down, you know, and say that he's so dumb and he has no idea what he doesn't know how to run an office and be a president. And I mean, I've seen people call him lazy and say that he just sits on his ass all day. And I'm like,
no.
Like, I mean, you said 18-hour-long days, but there's been some days where, I mean, it like even from like time stamps on his tweet, you know, it just looks like he's been up all night.
Well, I think it was North Korea.
Yeah,
I think it was North Korea where he told Sean Hannity that he had been awake for 27, 28 hours at that point.
Right.
Okay. Now, at my age, I'm sorry. I would be in really bad shape at that point, right? But he's 72 years old.
Yeah.
And he's got better stamina than people half his age. He's got better stamina than anybody else probably in Congress, I would imagine.
And how many hours a day he really is just left alone where he's not talking? He talks all the time in Congress and at speeches and rallies and, you know, and all this stuff. He's just constantly working. I'm like, I've never heard him go hoarse. I've never heard him have a coughing fit. Like,
I know. What, Hillary? Clinton. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Hillary. I mean, to me, I'm just like praying over him and his health because he's got to keep going, and it's only got to be supernatural that's sustaining him. But like, that's a hardworking man, and
it
we
is.
See results, and we're seeing him make these decisions, which are complete 180s of past administrations. And people can freak out while it's going on, but in the end, you're going to see America first. You're going to see results and prosperity, and you're not going to be complaining when you're getting those refund checks. You're
That's
not
right.
going to be complaining when you're taking home more pay or when you're getting subsidized on, you know, on certain things that you're benefiting from.
That's right. Well, you know, speaking of that, welfare, his push for the taking the illegal immigrants off of welfare, $57.4 billion tax return for the U.S. citizen.
Exactly. I know. It's crazy.
Right?
It's crazy. But, you know, and speaking about welfare and food stamps and Medicaid and unemployment, like, all those bottom numbers are being cut. Like, there's less people on food stamps. There's less people on Medicaid and unemployment. I mean, jobs are being created. Jobs are being brought back.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible. We're not getting ripped off. And I mean, I really think that there is going to be a turn where people are not going to have anything to complain about because they're going to be seeing the fruits of this, you know, because right now they're still trying to be in denial, saying he's taking credit for Obama. Oh, because there's a four-year delay, yet Obama had two terms, so wouldn't his second term be a lot better than his first?
That's right, and yet it wasn't. I mean, at this point in his first term, he was at a negative 2.9 million jobs issue.
Exactly. it's unbelievable.
Yeah. It really is. It's like, folks, stop looking at party. Seriously, just stop looking at party and just look at statistics. Forget everything else. Forget about what you hear, what you see as far as news. And look at just those figures. And you have to acknowledge the figures and go, those are good figures. And just, but they can't even acknowledge that. They refuse to acknowledge it. And the general public that is anti-Trump because they've been told to be anti-Trump.
Right.
And they've been told to be anti-Trump because the people who are telling them that wanted to be buds with Trump for the longest time, as long as he wasn't in a position to get them put into jail for the things that they did. Now that he's in a position where he can literally affect their futures, they hate him.
Exactly.
Because they're scared of him.
I mean, yeah, it's easy to be a kiss ass to a multimillionaire and be like, ha ha ha, we love you.
Right?
We'd love to have you partner with us in some of our ventures. And that, you know, whatever. And then when the funds are cut off, if he wasn't a billionaire or, you know, multimillionaire or whatever, would they even have given him a nod? Really? No.
Yeah, you wonder. Yeah, you wonder, really, how loyal would they have been without his money?
Right.
And it's just, it's ridiculous. And the jealousy is crazy because I remember when he was campaigning, they were making comments, well, you know, he started out with $1 million. I mean, you know, give me $1 million and I can make a success too. Mm-hmm. No, most people, you give them $1 million and they would have about $100,000 left of it in about 2 years.
Right.
If that.
Well, I know that, you know, in his past with his businesses, it's not like he was constantly in the black.
Right.
It's not
absolutely.
He didn't borrow from other places, you know, so I just, I don't want to paint the picture that there's nothing wrong with him.
And he's made his share of mistakes financially. And but this is the thing that I have to admit I gave to him years ago, even before all this presidential stuff was coming up, is that success or not, man, he kept trying. He kept going after whatever the venture was, and some of them worked, some of them didn't, and he just kept going. But you know what? That's what separates somebody like an Edison from somebody who you never hear of, too. It's, you keep trying. I mean, Abe Lincoln, I want to think there's something like he lost his run to Senate and any form of Congress something like 6 times before he was actually accepted. Nobody wanted him, but he kept trying.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, people see there's quality behind something. And Trump will throw his optimism and his enthusiasm toward as many things as he can in hopes of the successful, and if it's not, he re-gears and comes back and tries something different and does whatever. And he's done the same thing with his employees since he's been in the White House. He takes gambles. But he knows the odds are, keep at it, and some of them will be successful, and the ones that are will be so much more successful than the things that you failed at. And that's the American initiative.
And here's the thing, okay? He's 72. Right. Okay, so if you're going to take risks and borrow money from other people and your company is going to go under and go in debt and lawsuits, whatever, do that with your own money or with your father's money or however you want to put it. But he's learned from his mistakes. He's not taking these, you know, crazy risks with American money. He's not taking all these, like, he knows what he's doing at this point. He knows how this works.
And regardless of what he's doing. Oh, yeah. I love that he's an outsider, but go ahead.
Outsider looking in, right, like he has seen it from that vantage point. And anybody can look up videos of him giving speeches on this in the 80s. Just as a businessman, he's talking about North Korea. He's talking about, he talks about Facebook, when Facebook didn't let him buy stock because he made too much money. And, you know, I mean, like, you can go back and he's stayed true, you know, as far as like from his vantage point, he sees it and he's like, we're getting ripped off. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this?
That's right.
And, you know, so it just seems like something that's continued to build, and it's almost like a tick in him that he's like, I love America so much, but I can't stand to see it be in this condition anymore.
That's right. And you have to see a part of him that this is just my take, and I guess it's just being a dad, but I can't help but see a side of him of doing this so that Baron has a world that he can grow up in and that is like what he remembers being a kid and having America as. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a point where what you're doing needs to be, is this really benefiting the next generation?
Right.
And if it's not, why are you wasting your time doing it? And taking Trump completely out of the equation at that point and looking at just where the left is today, the very things they're focusing on right now, if you really seriously begin to draw the lines on this and try to project into the future, most of the stuff they're coming up with doesn't leave you anything for the future.
Right.
They're promoting a sexual orientation that doesn't give birth to another generation. And it's no longer, and I'm not even talking about gay at this point, I'm talking about everything else that's out there. It's the, you know, it's this idea of let's get rid of everything that establishes a system, just on that end. Let's build a world where everything is wind power. And it sounds great, except that it doesn't work.
Right. And that's the thing is it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. It's not working in places like California, Chicago. It's not, it hasn't worked up until now. And the way that the country was going with the unemployment rates and the near bankruptcy of Medicare and Social Security and the debt that our country, you know, was in, and just budgeting and crazy billions of dollars going out to other countries to help them. Like, yeah. I mean, it was going to lead to destruction, and it's a great idea in theory, and it appeals to, you know, how we were talking about the democratic socialists. They think that, or maybe they think that means they're all for society and for a free and open society, social.
Yeah, you're being social.
You know, being cool. Right, but it's just ideologies. And I think that there is that part of like how I was kind of saying, like coming of age in my own story, when you're starting to take on your own responsibility, you have all these ideas and passions as a youth and all these things that you want to see that are good, but there has to be that point where you look at the facts and you look at logistically, how is this going to work? And if you just continue to grow up on these ideologies without having the means or the knowledge or the steps in order to make that happen, then it's just a system that's not going to work. I mean, there's a scripture I refer to. It says, without vision, the people perish.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, you know, just thinking about, like, our lives and plans and stuff like that. I was very resistant as a youth because I was this huge dreamer. I saw the corruption. I didn't want our, you know, I wanted this huge, like, hippie commune earth and just everything's organic and and things like that. And I was almost resentful towards the progression and the success of America because to me, that's not an ideology that I wanted in my life. But at the end of the day, it's not like I had to cut off who I was in order to subscribe to some capitalistic, you know, whatever, and now I'm just completely 180. But it's figuring out how to make that work within the growth and the progression that we have, and that's not a curse. You know, regardless of what they might think, like, it's really the growth, the progression, those things are not a curse. Yes, they can be mishandled. Yes, it can be used by black hats and by evil people who want to turn it for their own agendas and purposes. But that's why we're here. That's why we need people who are impassioned, but at the same time, they know how to make it work for the good people. Okay, and it's not just ideologies and resisting anything and just getting really angry and upset and offended by those things, but it is about, you know, facts over feelings and and making these logical, you know, Q says, think logically, okay? Like, and it's just, it's almost like seeing your individual self and how it relates interdependently in society, what role you play, instead of trying to make it this blanket thing for everybody. It's not a one-size-fits-all. We weren't created like that, you know? We have different strengths, different weaknesses, where it's interdependent, you know? It's not everybody's going to be the same, and not every shoe is going to fit the same person, and that's a world that I don't want to live in.
Okay? That's right.
That's the farm and the grown bodies. You know, we only serve a purpose for the purpose that they want us to serve, but that's not something I want to live in. I want to have the freedom of expression, the freedom of individuality, the ability to be rewarded for my effort, you know? Anyways.
That is, I mean, we get flippant about it, but that, I mean, that is capitalism. It's people have given capitalism a bad name because we automatically assume capitalism with money. And capitalism isn't about money. Capitalism is about actually getting reward for the effort that you put in. And socialism doesn't do that. Socialism is all the reward is on the people who tell you what to do. Capitalism is, if you put in the sweat equity, you get the benefit. But it also ripples out and it allows life to be easier for those that you work with. And, you know, if you take, you know, a horse and you work them on a field versus two horses, the two horses can do twice the labor without it being twice the effort. Now, if you don't give them the food, if you don't give them part of what they're working on, you've got socialism. If you allow them to benefit from the companionship, from the things that go on, and it's they're working themselves. I mean, two animals will work together whether they're tied to something human or not. I mean, we see it. I mean, it's one of the biggest things that people enjoy, it seems, is videos online, and they love watching animals, and they particularly love watching animals that don't naturally, we tell ourselves they don't naturally behave well together, and yet there they are doing it. And I love watching that. Mm-hmm. I mean, craziness, you know, and, you know, the goat that thinks that he's, you know, a pig or whatever, and then he's all socializing with the rest of these animals, and all that kind of thing. Animals will work together naturally on their own to benefit themselves and each other. And so it's not about humans must do this to make it happen. That's capitalism too. And we've lost that somewhere in the mix, that it's somehow evil to benefit from your labor.
Right.
And it's just not. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like there's absolutely nothing wrong with Trump saying America first. Just like you would say, well, my family needs to be first. if I can't take care of my family, it doesn't matter what else I'm doing out in the community out there. My family's dying.
Exactly. That's a good point.
And we've got to get away from this. You used the scripture, and I'm having this flash of Job, where he's got all of these bad things happening to him, and all of his neighbors and family are telling him, curse God and die, you know, do this stuff, because this is ridiculous, the stuff that you're right. going through. And they're all bad-mouthing what he's experienced, not because of what he's experienced, but his attitude in the fact that he's experienced it, and yet he hasn't walked away from God in the process. Mm-hmm. That's what the left and the deep state is doing right now, is that they're telling all of us, how dare you have a dream? How dare you have a purpose? How dare you promote patriotism? That's ridiculous. Don't you see the bad things? And we're all going, no, yeah, of course we see the bad things that go on.
Right.
But we know that together we can fix it. And right. you know, for all those media folks that are trying to claim that the people who are following along with Q, we're now referred to as the QAnons. They've rephrased this thing on us now. We're QAnons, and you know. But for those of us as a part of that, they look at this and go, "Well, all they're doing is just they're the sheep. They're just following along." What do you follow? What is there to follow in Q?
There's not exactly
right. There's absolutely nothing exactly. to follow.
There's no leader.
No,
that's organized. You don't have. We don't have a leader. Like, yeah, there's Q, but like. You can't just. What is Q telling us to? He's not telling us to do anything. He's
no.
asking questions. We're
That's
we
right.
are deducting our own research and messages from it.
That's right. Scott Adams was making the claim that you know that what makes a cult is that there's financial gain for somebody in it. Who financially gains in Q?
No one.
There's not a single thing involved in Q that is centering in on money, other than we're told to follow the money. But that's because we're being told, follow the money because it'll lead you to the corruption that's going on with the people that are telling you not to follow Q. But Q doesn't gain money from anybody. In fact, Q tells you that, you know, be leery of those that are seeking money in all of this, just the opposite of what a cult would do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for everything that they're trying to scream out there about how this doesn't make sense and you can't follow that and there's no logic. And Scott Adams particularly, and this here's where my soapbox was yesterday. He had the nerve to get on and do his little rant for 45 minutes yesterday, making the claim that Q is based off of no sources, but I, as well as Jack Posobiec and others, have sources of our own who do inform us on stuff, but we can't tell you who they are. And you'll never know who they are. You'll never find out who they are. But we have our sources that have told us that Q is fake. But I can't tell you who these sources are. Oh, and by the way, you know, I predicted economic things a year ago, and I predicted this and I predicted that. He's touting himself as a prophet now, and that he's got these sources, but he's not going to tell you who they are. You just need to trust him. Q is doing the opposite of that.
Right.
Q wants us to. Q will lead us down a direction and let us look for the sources or pull the information out and find the documentation ourselves, or we'll provide some levels of documentation to us so that we can have proof of it. And at the same time, doesn't try to move us in a particular direction to actually do anything, and doesn't self-proclaim anything. And it keeps revealing more and more clues about who the sources are.
Right. Which, I mean, I think every follower kind of has, well, or however you want to put it, has to kind of come to terms at some point. We might never know who Q is. It might never be confirmed or exposed, but that's okay. And what we've learned in the process and what we will continue to look into for years and years to come is priceless. And I think what's so fantastic about it is that, like I was talking about, it's not a one-size-fits-all, and that it's actually unifying and creating so much of a community among people who, okay, let's be honest, they're already on their phones, already on social media, already, you know, doing whatever, but now it's like it's being tailored to each person's strengths. And so if there's a post about being more cryptic, or one about planes, or, you know, and plane codes, and what about National Guard and military? I mean, there's been so many different, it plays up to everybody's strengths. And then you have people who they're just kind of like enthusiastic and patriotic about it. And they're like, I don't really know what's going on, but I love being a part of this. And I love watching you guys, you know, piece this together. I mean, it's a community and it's excitement. It's not a one-size-fits-all, follow the leader, wear the robe, say the thing, and right. do the thing, and initiate somebody else, and then they'll do the thing.
That's right.
It's not like that.
That's right. Yeah, everybody's got their parts they can play and choose to play as far as the how they're involved and what they gain from it as well.
Inherently, it is not racist or white supremacist or sexist or anything, because we are talking to white, black people in across the world. We're talking to people who are researchers, and they're in older age, who are, you know, I mean, it spans all of that, and it's just inherently like there's no prejudice against anything. It's all open source, but it's all like open invitation. There's no requirements for any of that. You could look into it for a day. You could lose sleep for years, like some of us have done.
Right.
But at the same time, like, it's inherently, it's not, there's no creed or manifest saying one thing's better than the other. And that's like, I've stayed with it because, like I said, it's moving fast and it's picking up and it's exciting. And every time you get a new person on and they have all these questions, and you know, one of the last Q drops said the Clinton Foundation, and then gave the 800 number to the human trafficking hotline.
Right.
And
which is also connected to the Clinton Foundation, to John Podesta, to, right?
Right. So new eyes, maybe that's their first post they're decoding, you know, and they're like, wait, why does it say the Clinton Foundation? But it's human trafficking, and what is that, you know, and like putting these things together.
That's right.
And just kind of like researching and looking into it and being like, I don't know, I see some connections maybe, but it's, you know, it's like that, it's just exciting to see, okay, it's just coming out into the light. Some of us who have been on it for a while, we just kind of forget that this isn't, you know, people's normal way of thinking. And like the people that you were talking about earlier, it's like they, you know, they're calling it a LARP. They're saying they know Q. They're saying they do this or that. But a lot of their stuff is led by fear, or just led by, it's easier for me to follow this, because the alternative is, then you have people in the White House who are aware of Q, but they have no idea that they're standing right next to somebody who's involved directly. You know, I mean, it's just there's so many different, you know, we call them red pills, but there's so many different red pills. You can't just take one big one at a time and be like, I'm good.
That's right.
It's one bite at a time, and it's just like doing little steps here and there. But in my mind, like, there's no expiration date. It's not like we have to have it figured out by a certain time. This is stuff that we can go through and look on for years to come and continue to read. I mean, if you just came into QAnon now, there's about 1,800 posts, and to go back to October 31st, 2017 and read the first one, I mean, and then to get it's massive. That's where you need the community, and you need, you know, everybody's knowledge and input into it. And I, you
know, well, and it has evolved through the whole process too, because the focus is obviously in October, November, December were different than they are now. And if nothing else, you can go back and you can look at where was this leading? Did it lead anywhere? And so forth. And, you know, I've heard people be skeptic about it. Well, you know, this didn't happen. Well, okay. Q mentions for us to be aware of the possibility of some kind of a large disastrous event happening. The event ends up not happening. And we're supposed to be bummed out by that because it didn't prove Q right. If anything, all it does is say, well, maybe they were able to stop one major catastrophe of some kind happening. And if that's the case, isn't that a good thing? And it doesn't disprove anything. But I know for me, when we were having so many of those false flags happen and all the threats of things going on, I had a friend who last minute decided she was going to go out with some friends and party in Dallas in the late hours, okay? And I knew that there was a connecting point with an event that was going on that had been predicted for that weekend possibly in three or four different cities, and Dallas was one of them. And she texted me, hey, you know, I'm, you know, over here doing this thing. I was like, well, hold on, where are you actually? And I started doing research into that, and she was she was literally next door to the facility that was in question. And they were going to be doing a mock emergency at this hospital in Dallas. And of course we know that's some of the false flags. I mean, it's like Parkland with this whole thing that, hey, you know, we're going to run a drill on this scenario, and then later that day that scenario took place. And so you have to watch for things, and that's what was going on in this building next to where she was that evening. I said, that you don't need to be anywhere near there this weekend. And she was like, ah, that's crazy. You know, like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm trying to kind of talk her down this from the ledge, so to speak, that the partying was important. And bottom line, she took me seriously because I started sending her posts of things, and she got out of there. And thankfully nothing happened. But looking back on it, she was going, wow, that really could have been a bad thing, and I could have been in the middle of this. I'm so glad that you warned me. And there are people that would be skeptics and go, well, he was just paranoid and he was scaring her when he didn't need to. Well, that's easy enough to say, but ask yourself, how many people would you have called or texted or warned in some way at 6 o'clock on September 11th in 2001, if you could have? If you had some kind of a feeling something was going to happen there, how many people would you have tried to have warned, hey, I can't prove anything about this, but there's a possibility of? And if Q has done nothing else for me personally, Q has brought into the rationalization that I really do care about what's happening to other people out there, and to the point that I want to actually say something to them. And I think that's part of what scares the deep state and the mainstream, is that people, for once, are not only aware of the possibility of things happening, but they're actually taking action to help other people and to make sure things don't happen to others. And once you get people actually verbally involved or actively involved in protecting each other, they become united.
Yeah.
And a united front against any system is always frightful. And that's when you go back to your founding fathers, who remind us, you know, that the people, as long as they stand together, are always going to be the power. And people fearful of the government is wrong. The government should be fearful of the people. And we are at a point now where I think the government is honestly fearful of the people.
Exactly. They don't want us awake, that's for sure.
No. No, because it's been really good with us being asleep.
For them.
Oh, yeah. Right. They've enjoyed decades and decades of this, some of the people that are currently there. And to the point now where they literally look us in the eye and do things against us and don't even pretend to care. It's just shown the true colors of everybody. And all this panic that's beginning to happen with people on the news and all these references that are happening, people have to remember none of that would be pressing out there if they weren't afraid of the power behind it. Remember that, folks. All of the listeners, remember that if you're hearing more about it and they're screaming loudly about it or against it, it means that you're actually making an effect on things and you're getting close to shutting down whatever it is they don't want you shutting down.
Right. We're striking a nerve.
We are
big getting
time.
close to their, you know, where their treasure is or whatever. We're getting too close and they're starting to strike back.
They shut down Alex Jones. People kept rallying behind Alex Jones, and I'm not a fan of Alex Jones, but I am a fan of free speech. And so many people began to push and support Alex Jones that they're now beginning to censor other people who are even talking about Alex Jones. That was the new thing today, that there were a couple of websites that were shut down, and social media sites that were shut down because of them running things on Alex Jones. That should frighten anybody hearing that. The cat lady who owns 380 cats and believes that the Pope is God has a right to have a website promoting that idea. You may not agree with her, but she has a right to have the site. She has a right to speak her mind about it. And when we tell people, no, that's crazy, and crazy doesn't get promoted anymore. In fact, you can't even talk about the crazy lady because we're going to shut you down too. No. That's not freedom. That's tyranny. And no, they don't have the right to do that. So
right.
There it is. That's the price you pay of being under our Constitution. You've got the freedom to say what you want to say, but you also have the freedom to acknowledge that people are going to say things you don't want them to say.
Right.
Period. All right. Well, we've run out of time tonight. Image, this has been awesome. This has been great. This has been a great show. And I welcome you officially on board. You are definitely officially a co-host at this point because you did more than pull your weight in this evening. And I appreciate you being here, and I'm glad that you're a part of all of this. For those of you that don't know, Image of the Invisible, social media end of things, you have some brilliant things that you post out there. And what's funny is that I watched your post from afar before you and I even connected on here. And it's always fun to see that all of those kind of things happen and see everybody interact. The brilliance. And then the different generations. I'm sure that I am probably a papa's age difference from you, and yet we think and see things alike. This isn't about age, this is about being awake, and I love all of that.
Exactly.
Okay,
well,
so
we're gonna do it without you.
Well, we're working on having the format. That's the big thing. And I had to have the format, and I was doing it all alone, and quite honestly, doing it alone just wasn't working. And I appreciate everything that y'all contribute at all times in this, because y'all make me look good, first of all, and it makes it a whole lot easier doing it together. And that's the whole part of this. We're not alone. So there we are. Okay, so for this week, this is it. We finish up. We'll continue on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights whenever, whatever I can do, unless I'm literally have laryngitis and I can't be on. This is what we're going to do moving forward. Over the weekend, continue to pay attention to the social media sites. If you're not familiar with who all we are, go on to patriotsfight.com, which you're probably listening to it from there now, and check the links that are on there for social media, and continue to follow along with us. And remember, we're not doing any of this for money, folks. We're doing this for interest in the better cause. And so the only way we're going to benefit truly from this is for you to pass it on and to educate more people. Okay. For this week, good night, and hug on your family. Pray for your neighbors. Good night, and God bless.
And HIPS, Intelligence Committee, the House Select Committee on Intelligence.